Dave Lippman and Ann Feeney are joining me in the studio right now, live, and I'd like to say hello to Dave.
Well, we're so glad to be here streaming and on.
And to Ann, hello.
Hi, George.
Hi. So maybe we can have a song now. Whichever one of you wants to start is fine with me, and just pick something you want to play.
Shall we do Emma?
Let's do that, or something like it.
All right.
Dave Lippman and Ann Feeney here at Free Radio Saturday.
20 years ago, I put out a cassette called If I Can't Dance, It's Not My Revolution, and my biggest disappointment was that I couldn't find a good song about Emma Goldman, and I had been meaning to write one over the last 20 years, but I never got around to it, so my buddy Paul Gailunas and his sweetie Helen Miller wrote this song. I hope you enjoy it. 1, 2, 3, 4... She told me the state is my enemy. The lady on the left saying property is theft. They ran her out of town just to keep her mouth shut. J. Edgar Hoover couldn't move her from my heart. I'm talking Emma, Emma, Emma Goldman. Emma, Emma, hey. From my heart, I'm talking Emma, Emma, Emma Goldman. Emma, Emma, woo!
Santa Cruz, we've got Ann Feeney and Dave Lippman and singing CIA agent George Shrub here in the studio, and they are on their Triple Trouble Tour, a fair and balanced brew of satire and songs to stir the soul. So Dave, I just got a phone call from a friend of mine who's in town from Berkeley, and she was saying that she met you in Jeus, in a town in the West Bank, that you came and visited that town, and that she actually sat with you last weekend at the San Francisco Mime Troupe performance.
My youthful indiscretions come back to haunt me. It's true, I went to the Mime Troupe last week, but I'm older now.
So anyway, I was curious if you could talk a little bit about your trip to the West Bank and what was
behind. To the country that we dare not speak its name? Yeah, let's see, it's about two and a half years ago I spent several weeks in Palestine and Israel, Gaza, West Bank, all around there. Went with a group called the Middle East Children's Alliance, and stayed a little bit later and went to meet some of the Israeli opposition groups. But Jeus is the place where they have got a town surrounded by a fence and wall with a gate, maybe two gates, that may or may not open for 15 minutes in the morning and the evening. So these folks from Berkeley were part of an international team that was watching those gates for abuses by the soldiers. People are supposed to go through there, go to school, and come back, and sometimes they just don't open it. Sometimes they detain people, and sometimes worse. That's what they were doing there. But we went all around visiting a lot of people in very different, very dire circumstances. None more dire than Gaza at that time, and I think that's still true.
I went to that village, Jayus, and I saw the wall, I saw the gates and the greenhouses that were on the other side of that wall, and all the fields and orchards and things that they cannot access without a permit, and a lot of folks aren't issued those permits, and so you have just people having their livelihood completely cut off. And so anyway, I want to put the phone number out in case people want to call in to ask questions or make comments or request songs. The number here in the studio is 831-427-3772. Again, that's 831-427-3772 if you'd like to call in and say anything to either one of my guests or make a request or anything like that. So we've been talking a bit, and maybe we could have another song at the moment. You can pick
something. Have a song I do about Palestine. It goes with slides, and it's 20 minutes long. So instead of that, I'll do something else here. I do want to say that, you know, you hit the nail on the head about the impossible living conditions there, and I think that's by design. I think that's the general idea, is to make things hard enough that people will just want to leave. And really large numbers of the people who had any money at all have left over the generations, and which leaves, I hate to say such a nice thing about the middle class, but when the middle class leaves, it makes it awfully hard on the rest of the people, too, taking out a lot of resources. So that's part of what's been going on there in the West Bank. Anyhow, the guy who did that, I thought, the guy who's currently doing it, they've been doing that for 6 or 7 presidents now, haven't they? Maybe more. The one who did that, I thought, deserved his own song. So, on the first day of Bushmas, my Supreme Court gave to me a duly selected presidency. On the second day of Bushmas, my president gave to me $300 instead of a democracy. On the third day of Bushmas, my president gave to me no Kyoto Protocol, so I could warm up to a check for $300 instead of a democracy. On the fourth day of Bushmas, my president gave to me space missile defense in order to form a more perfect union, or at least a warm fuzzy feeling of warming up to having no democracy. On the fifth day of Bushmas, my president gave to me a stop to the START treaty so we could be legal building Star Wars 2 to defend our lack of a democracy. On the sixth day of Bushmas, my president gave to me stock market tips to replace Social Security. Let the church say amen. On the seventh day of Bushmas, my president gave to me faith-based initiatives to replace Social Security. On the eighth day of Bushmas, my president gave to me drills for the Arctic, water laced with arsenic, oil won't mix with water, but oil and government order in a centrifuge, which he'll set up in a wildlife refuge. On the ninth day of Bushmas, my president gave to me a bill of rights, not for gays or blacks or free speech, not for none of these, but for health insurance companies. On the 10th day of Bushmas, my president gave to me cheaper public schools, cloning corporate tools, teaching to the test, screwing all the rest if they don't like our new federal standardization of their kids to work in faith-based health insurance companies. On the 11th day of Bushmas, my president gave to me a war against somebody over in someplace to teach a lesson and save our face, taking our 300 and our fuzzy feeling and our Bill of Rights. Here we go to war. I think we all know what it's for, to defend our lack of a democracy. On the 12th day of Bushmas, there's only 6 more. Patience, patience. 12th day of Bushmas, my president gave to me tax cuts for the wealthy so we can give back to those who really suffered from the attacks. Oil billionaires, it will trickle down, he tells us, and we must be tough. Only terrorists refuse to buy more stuff.
Thank you. So, Anne, maybe we can hear one from you now. Trade off a little bit.
Sure thing. Here's a tune from John Frommer and Bernie Gilbert. My
tired, but my soul is rested. Hundreds walk to work in the morning light, thousands walking home from their jobs at night. The days turn to weeks, the weeks turn to months. It was more than a year before it was one. My feet are tired. Working back then, you would hear people say, I only want my kids to see a better day. I thought it over and I changed my mind. I want to see freedom in my time. My feet are tired. My feet are tired. My feet are tired. My feet are tired. Oh, my feet are tired. But my soul is rested.
Yes, thank you. That was Ann Feeney. And again, Ann Feeney, Dave Lippman, and George Shrub, the singing CIA agent, will be performing tonight at 7 p.m. at Don Quixote's Highway 9 in Felton. And that's $13 in advance, $15 at the door. And we'll give away a pair of tickets pretty soon. The number here in the studio, 831-427-3772. We're not giving away those tickets just yet. I'll let you know when we're going to. But you can certainly call in, make a request. And I have a question for you. You're the granddaughter of a mine workers organizer. Can you talk a little bit about your background?
Well, I guess, you know, I was born in 51, and most of the little girls I knew had baby dolls and were put to bed at night with stories about Prince Charming coming to take them off to the castle and live happily ever after. And my father told me stories about the coal and iron police in Pennsylvania, funded by the coal and steel and iron companies and with full police powers, and they would go through the little company towns, and if there was a whiff of union anywhere, people would be evicted and sometimes murdered, but they'd certainly never work in that industry again. But they were just very, very exciting tales. The true life adventures he told me about going into the company towns with his dad as a young boy. Since my dad was old enough to write, he would pass out the cards and collect them and then enter the numbers into the union book that his dad carried with him. And my grandfather also played the violin, and he used music to organize too. He gained the confidence of all the many, many ethnic groups that he organized. I mean, it's hard to believe, but actually back then there were immigrants in the country, and they formed a huge and vital part of the labor force. But anyway, he would organize immigrants, and he learned all the tunes of the Croatians and the Serbs and the Estonians and Latvians and Lithuanians. Every time there was any kind of labor dispute, the bosses would just pick a new country in Europe and bring over a boatload of people to break the strike. But eventually they all worked together, and the Mine Workers Union was certainly one of the most militant and powerful unions, the core of the CIO in the 30s. So I never met my granddad. He died in 1939, but I have a picture of him and Mother Jones getting ready to speak at a rally during the Great Steel Strike in 1919 in Pittsburgh. I guess it's come by my Hellraising genetically.
I was thinking, you perform songs together, right?
I tried to help her on that last one, but I don't know if I did any good.
That was some mighty fine picking.
Thought maybe George Shrub had dropped in. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about George Shrub, and then we could hear a tune that the two of you maybe could do another one together.
My God, I see now what our show has been missing is some direction. We kind of ramble around in circles till we figure out what we're doing here. George Shrub actually came on the scene and started tailing me and taking over half my show in the 1980 in the spring when he was kind of influenced by a guy running for president against Reagan, who actually became president later, whose initials were GHWB. And he was president for a little while. But George Shrub has been commenting on our body politic for many years in ways that I have been unable to stop. So anyhow, he has actually, his character is actually quite a bit more developed than mine, so he has taken over a good part of the show, I'm afraid. But he just really comes along, according to him, to share his point of view so that nobody else will need their own.
And he'll be there tonight with Dave Littman and Ann Feeney. So, I actually had a request, but I want to hear, maybe I'll hang off on that for now, and you let you both pick one, and you could maybe do another one together.
Well, you know, speaking of coal and steel and automobiles, that put me in mind of a song called I Hate to Bring It Up. From Susquehanna to the Mississippi, coal and steel and automobiles are dying. From Davenport to Denver, farms are broke, and the senators and lawyers all are lying, lying. Seems like people are out of work, and so are some machines. When there's no profit, they just off it. And for you, you know what it means. Parts can be replaced, people go on welfare. If you want a job, join the Marines, the Marines. So many kinds of murder, can't even list them. I hate to bring it up, but what do you do with such a system? Now you can own a house, and you can own a car, but when you own a factory, that's going a bit too far. You may say, let him achieve the things for which he strives. Where's the achievement in owning other people's lives, people's lives? The town fell down when the mill closed up across the border south. Down there the death squad moved in to shut some hungry mouth. In a frozen flat in New York City, a man is found cold and curled. And all these things together are called the free world. Free world. So many kinds of murder, can't even list them. I hate to bring it up, but what do you do?
Thank you. So you've got a number of songs on the Middle East as well. I was wondering if you could perform Iraq Opportunity.
That's not my song. That's done by George Shrub,
Okay.
But we might get him back in.
Maybe
here.
Maybe a little later. Shrub might drop in and play that for us. Okay. So this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, streaming online at freakradio.org. Live in the studio with me, Ann Feeney and Dave Littman. Maybe a little bit later, George Shrub might drop by, singing CIA agent. So, Dave, I had a question for you about a story that's on your website about how the ACLU filed a lawsuit earlier this year on your behalf. Can you
yeah,
talk about
that? Yeah, well,
you
know, everything on the web is literally true. And
is this a joke?
No, it's true.
Okay, because I wasn't
sure,
actually.
That's the one
true
thing on my whole website.
No, you have a blog from your trip to Palestine and Israel that looks very interesting, talking about your visits to some of the refugee
camps. And some of the prices on my CDs.
Yeah. Anyway, so can you talk about this lawsuit?
Well, I was actually working press at the time, November 03, at the FTAA demonstrations, Free Trade Area of the Americas, and I was working with Free Speech Radio News, which I had been their Southeast correspondent at that point. And no sooner did I get there, a couple hours later, and I took my truck and smashed the windows out and took it away for a couple days. And the Miami police were quick to say that they had done this, but later they changed their mind and said that it could have been a variety of other people. So we did a little research, me and the ACLU there, mostly the ACLU. And found out that the truck had been allegedly surveilled from North Carolina to Florida on the grounds that I was a protester with a known history, which indicated to me a very special status. Since nobody else got their truck taken like that, I would assume that I was the only protester with a known history in all of Miami. But then later I found out some woman's got four windows broken out in her truck, and they found a can of paint and therefore blew it up. It was very exciting times there in Miami. And now, so we filed a lawsuit on May 4th of this year. We finally got enough information, and we're suing the FBI and Miami Police and Broward County Sheriff for violation of constitutional First and Fourth Amendments, unreasonable search and seizure, right of assembly. And they are in the process of exchanging documents with us, the very friendly part of the proceeding before you go to court and call each other liars.
Have you written any songs about this?
I'm going to write a song called Protester with a Known History. As soon as I find out what rhymes with that, I'm going to get right on that.
Well, actually, I have a request for you, if you don't mind. Teenage Immigrant Welfare Mothers on Drugs.
I'd like to hear that one. By our dear friend Lee Golan, dear departed friend from worked in San Diego and in the Bay Area. He wrote a lot of wonderful songs. And this was his contribution to figuring out, I guess, who it is that people should focus their ire on when you don't have a job or something. Obviously, you want to blame some particular type of teenage immigrant, but he was the one who came up with the actual formula. It's been 5 years since I've had a raise in pay. The way things are going, you could get laid off any day. Sure is hard living with all this pain. I know what I need. I need somebody to blame. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. I think it's all their fault. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. Yeah, they've really got some balls. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. You know, they got no class. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. Let's send them back. What do you say? My neighborhood library is about to close. School my kids go to is becoming a joke. Self-serving liberals blame it on corporate tax breaks. That's propaganda. I know who I should hate. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. Everybody on the web, sing along. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. Yeah, they got some balls. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. They got no class. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. Let's send them back. Who's to blame? Things I'm pissed off about. Who's to blame for inflation, unemployment, and drought? Who's to blame for the end of the good old days? Who's to blame for the fact that I can't get laid? Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. It's all their fault. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. Boy, they got some balls. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. You can see they got no class. Teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. Well, let's send them back.
Thank you. We have Dave Lippman and Ann Feeney live in the studio right now. And I want to let you know that Dave Lippman's website is davelippman.com. And his last name is spelled L-I-P-P-M-A-N, davelippman.com. And Ann Feeney's website is annfeeney.com, and her last name is spelled F-E-E-N-E-Y.
And there's an E on Ann.
Yes.
There was a sale on E's. There were three for a dollar.
Yes.
So I'm noticing, looking at your website, Dave, that you have a show, a multimedia piece called Star of Goliath, which is on Palestine and Israel. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right, we don't have time for that on the live show that we're doing on this tour. It's really kind of a show unto itself. I use it for like half of my show when I'm going solo, and it is out on DVD. But that's based on the trip that we were discussing earlier. But it includes both things that I saw, people that I met, and also historical figures, people who helped create Israel, who made comments at the various junctures about what their intentions and plans were, how they viewed the land, and all that. So it's a combination of, I do it with PowerPoint and basic, stuff most 10-year-olds know.
And that you can find at Dave Lippman's website, Star of Goliath. It's a live show featuring eyewitness song, sound, picture, piece on Palestine, Israel. As you heard, he performs this. But is there a way to actually to get this as a DVD?
Yeah, that's on DVD.
Okay, so you can get that through his website at davelippman.com. It says Dave Lippman's 2004 visit to Palestine and Israel led to a multimedia piece, Star of Goliath, which encapsulates modern Holy Land history and imperial machinations with attention to varying Jewish views on Israel and the struggle for Palestinian survival and sovereignty. Songs, slides, and sounds to open hearts and minds. And the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs calls it a triumph. There's some more comments there. But anyway, the website is davelippman.com. So, may I ask what your interest in this conflict, Palestine-Israel, and why you went over there?
Well, one thing is, being Jewish, you have to come to terms with the fact that it's being done in your own name and in with a lot of American money. Of course, as an American, lots and lots of, you know, billions of dollars a year. But every Jewish family knows this. You get asked, any two Jews, what time it is, and you get three different answers. So in my family, as in so many, you can get a lot of opinions. I've lost contact with family members because of differences over this issue. So my position before I went was that it was an occupation, and after I went, it was that it's just basically ethnic cleansing and a smash and grab and a rub out of an entire people. So I modified my position. I guess I became a little more radical, but I felt that what's going on there is what we call un-Jewish behavior on the part of certain Jews. It's really making it harder rather than easier for the rest of us to live in the world. And it's, you know, there's really kind of two kind of Jews. There's the people that take other people's land, and there's the people who try to find ways to make things better for everybody and achieve, you know, that idea is, if anybody is not free, the rest of us are not free. But that is clearly not the design of those who lead Israel and always have. So I'm just trying to open that discussion up more with that piece.
And I'm wondering, Anne, could we hear one from you? I was thinking, if possible, maybe I could request a Jail for Justice?
Sure thing. Feel free to sing this in the paddy wagon or jail cell of your choice. Was it Cesar Chavez? Maybe it was Dorothy Day. Some will say Dr. King or Gandhi set them on their way. No matter who your mentors are, it's pretty plain to see. If you've been to jail for justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. You law-abiding citizens, listen to this song. Laws were made by people, and people can be wrong. Once unions were against the law, but slavery was fine. Women were denied the vote and children worked the mine. The more you study history, the less you can deny it. A rotten law stays on the books till folks like us defy it. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, us to speak our peace. It takes eternal vigilance for justice to prevail. To get courage from your convictions, let them haul you off to jail. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Will you go?
Thank you. And Feeney. So maybe we could hear one more from maybe one you do together. Would that be possible?
that one about the 10-hour day, is it? How's it go?
Is that what you want to do? Let's do the Veil.
Oh, the Veil. Okay. Well, this is a little tune that it's based on the fact that a lot of clubs that I play in close shortly after I play in them, and most newspapers that have ever given me a favorable review folded, and not just in the middle, by the way. They really, seriously, folded. I also played in Yugoslavia one time. We saw the results of that. Now I come to find out that the hospital I was born in closed. So I thought, well, why don't I write a song about prisons and see what I can accomplish there. For America, I went to Vietnam. Agent Orange has a hold on me still. The freedom movement made me an organizer while I was studying on a GI Bill. Luck of the leader is to be locked up 25 years, counting 8 in the hole. I'm not famous, I'm not Mandela, but I am imprisoned in a jail. My name is Geronimo G. Jaga, and my soul is not for sale. Down at the market, no one talks about it. On the TV, you won't see this tale. But if you can see me, then they must free me. So won't you please lift up the veil? Driving cab is a good way to pay the rent. A journalist who tells the truth. They've been after me since I've been after them. No, I did not waste my youth. In Philadelphia, police won't help you except to beat you to the punch. They beat my brother, there was another. Shot the policeman, but I'm doing the time. My name is Mumia Abu-Jamal, and the system is the crime. Down at the market, no one talks about it. On the TV, you won't see this tale. But if you can see me, then they must free me. So won't you please lift up the veil. Once proud nations reduced to reservations, and government goons come to terrorize. We had a duty to defend our family from corruption, guns, and lies. The FBI came, they played that old game, divide and conquer to maintain their power. I'm not famous, I'm not Mandela, but I am imprisoned in a jail. My name is Leonard, Leonard Peltier, and this land is not for sale. Down at the market, no one talks about it. On the TV, you won't see this tale. But if you can see me, then they must free me. So won't you please lift up the veil. If you can see me, then they must free me. So won't you please lift up the veil.
That was great. Thank you.
Thank you, George.
So, I noticed that while you were performing, somebody kind of snuck in the door there. Looks like a CIA agent to me.
And greetings. What is this operation here? I'm looking in my pockets, and I don't see the paperwork that authorizes this station. Sorry, this is George Shrub. I know you're supposed
to do your own
ID on these stations. I am the actually newly appointed cultural director of the Department of Homeland Security, so I came down here to check things out.
Unfortunately, we left the door unlocked and he was able to slip in through the crack there. Good thing you didn't bring the FCC with you today. But while you're gracing us with your presence here, George, is it possible we could hear one of your tunes?
Yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
the Iraq Opportunity theme song?
You folks don't know what a pleasure it is to be here with me. And you're not likely to find out due to the nature of this song. This song explains the opportunity we've gotten into in Iraq.
Thank you for explaining the opportunity to us.
Yes, it's not opportunistic, but it was a great thing that we were able to go rescue these folks from themselves, because it turns out that they couldn't find the weapons of mass destruction either. I can find them. I still have the receipts, so I'm going to go looking for them as soon as I can get a chance and get out of the green zone. But The reason I went there in the first place was to not to get oil. You know, people will tell you that it's about oil, but if it was about oil, we would just bomb Texas and get it over with, wouldn't we? So think about this, folks, but don't think about it too much. Anyhow, they wanted me to come in and write the theme song for the situation there, and I will. I did write it, and I'll sing it, and then everyone will like it. You and I must make a pact. We must bring Iraq back.
Where there is oil, I'll be there.
Oh, you and I travel to the beat of a big oil drum. Can't you see by my car that runs 15 gallons to the mile? The Lord above made man to rob his neighbor. No matter where with neighbors he is cursed. The Lord above made man to rob his neighbor. But with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, with a little luck, I'll get there first. With a little bit, with a little bit, with a little bit of blooming luck. The gentle sheiks were made for us to curry, to drill our oil and keep it flowing without cease. The gentle sheiks were made for us to curry, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, we can have it all and call it peace. I ain't no imp, I ain't no gimp, don't need no symphony. I played this one alone with Tony Blair on timpani. I ain't no fall guy, I'm a tall guy, and I'm gonna do what Cheney tells me to.
Thank you, George. You know, I'm curious, George Shrub, were you at Bohemian Grove recently? There was a gathering up there not too long ago. I believe it was, might have been yesterday, in fact, or it might even be continuing.
Yeah, actually, I'm right there now. It's a pleasure to be here and everywhere at once.
So, can you explain what the Bohemian Grove is all about and what you do when you're there?
Yeah, Bohemian Grove is a place that you don't know about, that doesn't exist, where men go and don't decide what goes on in the world, with a few exceptions, such as deciding who gets elected here and there.
Is there any drink or carousing that goes on?
Well, considering that it doesn't exist, yes, there is quite a bit of that. And we actually have some plays that we put on there, sort of Greek style, and men play all the roles and wear togas and fly down from the sky on invisible ropes. And it's all very exciting. Don't you wish you could be part of it?
Does it upset you that your tour mate, Dave Lippman, your shadow, Dave Lippman, has a song? Bohemian Grove?
No, that's actually part of the reason that I was able to get permission to devote so much of my time to shadowing him, because he was on to us.
Is Dave still in the studio here?
Well, I've got him back in the closet there. Is it something I can
help
you with?
Yeah, well, maybe we could get Dave out for a second, because I was actually kind of curious about this song, Bohemian Grove, because,
yes,
you know, I've always wanted to go to that.
This is a rare thing that George has let me out at the same time that he's here to talk with you. So go ahead.
Like I was saying, I'm quite curious about the song Bohemian Grove. Have you joined Shrub at the at this special rubbing of elbows
it's
that goes on?
It's very hard to get close to such a place. There
is there
a demonstration
is protest
there every
okay
year. Yes, that I have made it to.
Can you talk a little bit about that, and then can we hear the song that you've written about it?
They are having it as we speak, but we couldn't be. Originally, we wanted to be up there for that demonstration, and I played there last year with, I think it was last year or the year before, with David Rovics and the Prince Mishkins, and all kinds of people were up there. I'm not convinced that I can render that song as well as people can download it.
I see. So, all right. Well,
people's downloading skills have gotten so good they have surpassed my singing ability.
People,
well,
can,
we could look at it another way, but we won't.
People can check out Dave Lippman's website at davelippman.com. Thank you both so much for coming into the studio.
A pleasure.
And we're going to end on a song from that CD, Ann Feeney, If I Can't Dance, just out. We're going to end with a track from that. Let's hear this song off the CD, If I Can't Dance, Ann Feeney. Thanks for listening to 101.1 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Let's hear Ann Feeney.
You couldn't raise a dime. sound